Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Optimize My Life, the ultimate radio show where we unlock the secrets to living our best lives. Now, before we dive into this exciting journey of self-improvement and empowerment, I want to take a moment to thank our incredible sponsor, The Hope Collection, for making this show possible. Their unwavering commitment to spreading hope and positivity in our lives is truly remarkable. We believe in the power of interaction, so we want you to be a part of this incredible journey. Call in, write to us, or connect on social media. We'd love to hear your questions, experiences, and challenges. Together, we'll create a thriving community of like-minded individuals, supporting each other to thrive and shine.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. It is Wednesday morning, and you know what that means. It is Georgette's Wellness Waves. Good morning. There we go.
Oh, happy new day, Jugs. How's everybody feeling on this fine ass Thursday with your finance? I hope you are somewhere being fine and amazing and awesome on this gracious day. We are still in April, so we're still very well on the autism train. And before we get started, what are you about to say, Mary?
Speaking of which, I got a little bit of a rant about that.
Okay, let's rant, because I got a rant too.
So, families with kids, they have to have an assessment done every 3 years through the school, right? It is not state law, but the teachers like to tell you that it's a state law to force you to do it. And so we went through that with my daughter, and I refused to cooperate with it because we're moving her to a new school. And what pissed me off the most is they called me the school therapist that my daughter has never seen, never worked with, never talked to, ever. Called me on a Sunday afternoon to do an assessment on her and then to speak with her. So I didn't have the equipment up. She's lucky. I'm lucky even answered my phone because usually Sundays, I don't.
On
if
a
I
Sunday.
Don't know you, I don't answer. Yeah.
Are you able to call our providers on a Sunday?
Yeah, exactly. Unless you're me.
Right.
I work weekends. But, yeah, normally you can't reach a therapist unless it's an emergency. But then she goes through this assessment with Ariana. Okay. My daughter has self-esteem issues. It is well known. She reworded this question 6 times because Ariana couldn't answer it. She wanted to know what Ariana did not like about herself or what she could fix with herself. After I explicitly told her, we do not operate that way. Her gift is a gift. There are things she struggles with. There's things she's unsure about. But we like ourselves the way we are because God don't make junk, because God made us like him. And so we are built this way for a reason. And she kept asking it over and over again. And finally, Ariana couldn't answer the question because she didn't understand the question. And she looks at me and she goes, Mom, is there something wrong with me that I'm not supposed to like? Like, no. You are fine the way you are. And especially, she's at that 9 10-year-old stage where she's not quite a kid anymore, but she's not quite a big girl teenager yet. And so she tries to be a teenager. So they're in that very awkward stage of life. And you've got to ask these damn questions.
That is valid. And that is crazy. And which was getting me to my point today. How much acceptance is enough to be accepted? And I say that because what I'm learning is that everybody has their little bit of quirks and kinks. And we identify this spectrum as a full out from A to Z and anywhere in between. So you can be on one end of this spectrum in certain areas of your life or personality traits, and then other things can be masked very well. So a lot of times autistic individuals, you know, they work on masking their default personality. Is something like they're happy all the time and they're positive, but in their time of themselves, they are, you know, dark.
And sad. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can't fit
upset.
In.
They cannot fit in. So when it comes to thinking about not being able to fit in, what normality have we put them in a box? But we want to say this is a equal opportunity world and we can live outside of the box. But yet we put them in boxes. Okay, Ariana couldn't quite grasp the question. Now this lady has put something in her life to say, hey, I'm different and this is different. So I don't know if that is what I like when it comes to myself. Is this something that I like about myself? Is this something I should be changing about myself? What does this feel like and look like?
See,
so now I give them all types of and other things.
You know, that's where I have a problem with this, is that your kid can be a stupid furry and dress up
mm-hmm.
like a stupid animal, and that's normal. That's accepted. We're not going to change that. Your kid could be a letter of the alphabet, and only because I don't know the whole LGBTQ plus whatever, so I just call it the alphabet. And that's okay. We're not going to change them. Why is it because our kids have a label, we have to make them adapt to a society when everybody else, because they don't have a label, creates a label for themselves so that they can be who they want to be? That is my big problem. It's like we are supposed to be this Me Too movement. We're supposed to be this stupid acceptance movement that you're the weirder you are, the more outspoken you are, the dumber things you do, we're allowed to accept it. We're supposed to accept it. You decide you want to dress up like some drag queen with and teach the kids crap at reading time. That's okay by modern standards. But because our kids may say something different, may have a twitch to do something, or they don't talk the correct way, they have to be changed. Why?
To fit whatever norm society has deemed, but what we need to practice is just accepting ourselves. Because superpower or not, baby, we all have flaws.
Correct.
We all have
but
things
the problem
that...
is, no, I agree with you 100%. But how are our kids supposed to learn how to accept themselves from the day they are diagnosed and you put them in all these classes? And I'm not saying you do it because I know you don't do that. But they are taught by therapists and therapists and therapists to talk this way, to walk this way, not to move your hands this way, to say this, to say this, to say this. They are corrected from the time they learn that label as what they are to the day they die. And they're taught,
man,
they're told they need to do this. So how do we expect them to accept themselves when they're being told their whole life that they need to be like this? So they're not even given that opportunity to know who they are because they're being told, no, that's wrong.
I think when delivering the message, there can be other types of languages to introduce this into children. knowing the child's previous mental state should be a major determining factor on, is this child equipped enough to handle this information? And because Gage used to say his brain was broke, and I had to let him know that he had a good brain. But he was like, it's wired differently. And see, from a mommy giving this perspective to her child, and I'm saying you're wired differently, I am saying that, you know, some things you excelled in and some things you need to work on, but there's nothing wrong. But, you know, it's not wired like everybody else's, because everybody else is boring and God wants to be that much more amazing. He's like, yeah, but my brain's broken because it's not wired properly. So we had to get into affirmations and looking in the mirror and say, I love my brain. I trust my brain. It's working properly. I can think for myself. Like, it literally was a thing every day. If he did something that he remembered, oh, Mom, I remembered. I put the toilet seat down, and I said, okay, kiss your brain. Mom, I figured out my homework on my own. Oh, kiss your brain. I told you it was a good brain. Yeah, I rewired it. I empowered him to rewire his brain. I empowered him to see beyond what others may see you to be. Even at the circus last night, I saw so many children just be in their own world and their own element. And it was these two boys, his Gage was jumping and flapping and clapping, and he was so excited when they was playing the music, and he got his little dance moves down, y'all. And these two boys, they came to party with him. No words were spoken. They just wanted to party with him, and they was dancing too, right next to him. I go, wow, look at that. Look at him growing and making things happen for him. Look at him being himself and his tribe coming to find him. Or he connecting with like-minded tribes. Like, it was so beautiful just to see children accepting children. So it really be these raggy-ass adults with all their philosophies and their teachings and what they've learned and not even stepping outside to go into the mind of these children and say, hey, what are they experiencing in this time? What are they doing in this time? So that is that blows my mind, because why not allow a child to speak and work for themselves, even make decisions for them? Sometimes we have to allow children to make decisions for themselves so they can learn the lesson within. A lot of times you made decisions for yourself. Did you go to sleep, Charlie? Okay. I'm going to give you a hug, though. Yeah, I know I'll be, while I'm on my show, I stretch my clients. And today's episode of Stretch is a beautiful, bright, and brilliant young gentleman that social media brought us together in a skating accident. And I love this brother so much. So I want to give a big shout out to Charlie Gaines. If y'all have social media, follow him. He has a YouTube channel. The brother's amazing. He's talented. He's going to spit some affirmations. He's going to... Charlie Gaines. How you spell your Gaines? It's a lot of A's or something in it, or N's. Which one is it? G-A-I-N-S? Oh, that's it. I thought it had multiple letters. That's fraud. We got to get them. And so it's just Charlie Gaines. And this brother going to flip his way into your heart. And he is such an amazing person, and I love him. And he has been a major, major positive influence in my life, and I'm so grateful. So grateful for Charlie. Forever and ever. So y'all follow Mr. Gaines and get motivated. But when we talk about that to that statement of, like, they not wanting to really feel what the child is feeling, I like to tell adults, you know, you got to think about it. Like, if you go to the doctor and they give you some devastating news that you got cancer, what's that going to do to your brain, right? But then you're trying to go back and tell you, oh, you know, it was a spot on the limb. You really don't have cancer. Because you done killed yourself off. That's pretty much what I think people do to neurodivergence because they're not up to par in their standards. And I think that is just one of the most disrespectful ways, because you look over, I mean, the most disrespectful ways to look over a neurodiverse instead of looking into them and seeing all the good that they put out. Because it's a lot of people, it's a whole lot of people throughout the years who have changed the course of history, and they're autistic. And the only thing they did was, you know, Albert Einstein. He didn't have nobody to the point where he just went in. He just went in and closed himself up and did what he had to do. Went all the way in. Hope you feel lighter. But just understanding the perspective of when we give them this information. Now, as a mommy, I don't know what type of damage control you're currently having to do in your household right now. But Ariana, there's nothing wrong with you. Accept yourself and love yourself.
You know, and that's the sad part, why we have to always do damage control, because our school systems have to screw everything up.
Yeah.
It's not even the world that messes up our kids. It's the school system.
I take that, too, because I'm all about being who you want to be, but this teaching sexuality in schools, and how do you feel today, Johnny? Do you feel like a boy or do you feel like a girl? I mean, I just think that shit is crazy. I don't care what y'all say. You born a boy, you born a girl. Over time, as you develop feeling who you are, and that's perfectly okay who you are. But some of this shit going on out here today, honey, they're building a world of confusion. All this free reign, and I swear to you, this is to do away with mankind, because if this continues to go on and go on and so for 100 years from now, like, who's going to be on this planet? Who's going to take care of this planet? We too busy worrying about transgender and non-binary, and you can't use the same toilet because you feel like you privileged because you used to be this and you used to be that. So we got non-gender roles, and again, nothing wrong with that, but let's take it back to when it was just boys and girls.
Well, you know,
and that's okay.
I'm going to go a little off topic when it comes to neurodiversity and talk about the military with that whole issue. People join the military now to get the surgeries because they'll pay for it. And the problem is that when you join the military, you have to not be on medications. And so when you go and have this done, you're on hormone treatments. You're on all this stuff for life. You have to be on them to keep your body normal because you screwed it up. And so you are non-deployable. So you are a worthless soldier because you can't fight overseas or do anything because you can't get your medication. And now because the way the laws are written, they have to allow them in. So we're creating a whole military of people who join because of this reason that we can't do anything with them other than sit at a desk.
I don't have too much to say because I still want to maintain on a positive love and light note and just maintain my professionalism. But that's pretty much all I would say on that one. I just think it's worth of a confusion nation by allowing people to do this. And more so the parents who are already saying, you know, doing the things to retrain the brain in these little boys and these little girls to be certain ways, just allow them to be children.
Well, the thing is that we're not even teaching what it means to be a boy or a girl at a young age anymore. So they don't even have a base to compare from. And, you know, like in the school, my kids look at them like they're stupid because they always ask, okay, how are you doing today? Are you happy? Are you sad? And if they say happy, they ask why. It's like now we got to question why we're happy, and they start to wonder, you know, regular kids, well, am I not supposed to be happy? Why can't we just accept what we feel? And it's okay to feel that way. Why do we have to narrow down why we're happy if your go-to emotion is happy?
Makes sense.
You know, and a lot of teachers go, well, we're going to blame the administration on that. And I go, well, okay, I understand that aspect. But at the same time, you're the one working with these kids, so it needs to start somewhere. I know I just sent an email to the school because they're learning migration and turning into a sex education in third grade. And I'm like, no, my kid's not doing this homework because she don't know. Animals migrate for other reasons. They don't migrate just to mate.
I also feel that the schools, okay, so it's a two-way street with the schools, because the schools, parents put a lot of responsibility on the school when it comes to our children. Case in point, mm-hmm. I remember working as a restaurant manager, and I felt like if there was something going on with gays, it was the school should be able to handle it because they know that I'm at work. They know that I'm at work. And so I was like, I'm making good money. I'm doing all the things, but I don't see my kid. He don't know me. I don't know him.
No, not yet.
I go to work every afternoon as he is getting picked up from school, and I only kiss on him when I see him at night, and then I wake him up and take him to school. So he wasn't seeing me. I wasn't seeing him. We didn't know each other. I put all that responsibility on school to raise my child. Then when he started acting a fool at school, and I'm like, I don't teach him to be like this. I had to check myself. Girl, you don't teach him at all. He don't even know you. He don't see you. So don't be trying to holler at him, spank him, because he don't know you. And once that to, like, perspective, like, dang, this is a brilliant human, and he doesn't know me. This is a brilliant human. I can't help him in this moment because I don't know him. He spent more time with the teachers than I have. So I had to reevaluate myself. And it was not an easy thing to do. It was not an easy thing to accept. And I had to choose. I had to choose a job, or was I going to help my child who has these newfound powers, and he's working. And at the time, y'all, when I tell you I had never worked so hard, I worked harder because I found out he got a diagnosis that I had kind of written my own son off. I was crying, saying, you know, he's not going to be able to use the bathroom by himself. He may not ever talk. He may not ever comprehend. Y'all, I mean, I was a negative Nancy. As positive as I am back then, I was a negative Nancy because I didn't know who, what, when, or why, how to help my child. And it was a time, y'all. It was a time. And now coming into how I feel now, I don't even know. Like, entrepreneurship helped save my life. And I don't even know if I would still have the same. I can't even begin to imagine, like, if I did not quit those positions and choose entrepreneurship to spend more time with my child, that I wouldn't have thrived and flourished as much as I did. But sometimes, you know, you get comfortable and you lose the way. So there always has to be a factor of structure. So the structure came with the job that I created for myself created more time for my son. Now that he's a little bit older, he may understand some things. But not like it once was when we started out. So it has, you know, been a great journey into entrepreneurship and growing and learning my kid every step of the way. I don't take any of that for granted, and I would not change it. Now, this next season in my life, I still have the aspirations of being a flight attendant. I always have. And I just think it's so cool. And that's my retirement plan. Like, I just want to be a flight attendant a couple days a week, travel with my son, maybe go back to school, finish that doctorate, and you know, and create what I've been creating over here. So it's a great lesson that is to be learned, parents. And I say that to say, you know, when we're sending our children to school, we got to come with a plan too. I know teachers have a plan, but honey, get your own plan out. This is what I have planned for my child this semester. These are some of the goals that I think would be best for my child to work on. Because, again, your child's teacher only knows your child, you know, at school. You know your child at home. And then they have so many children that they need some type of structure to know what are they actually helping this child learn, what are they actually working on with this child. So I definitely would, you know, say you can't put all the blame on teachers, but they don't make teachers like they made Mrs. Jones 20 years ago. They don't make those teachers anymore. The teachers that really care, the teachers that's going to call your mama before you failing, they don't make them type of teacher anymore. I don't know what happened. I don't know where in society we got lost on that one, but educators, if you're listening, if you got into education to just get a check, that's fine, but remember that somebody's child's future is dependent on you. So the way you cultivate that child and the way you teach them and love on them at school, because you got to have some type of love when you are taking care of other people's children, teaching, all the things. You got to have a different sense of care and love. I think that is one of the most important things that we could put out when we think about, like, you know, teaching, what does that look like? And also learning, like Mary has done a great job finding different alternatives to teach her children. Virtual school works for them. Been thinking about putting Gage in a homeschool pod. That way he can have the freedom of not having to change classrooms. Because I will tell you this, I don't know if your kids been to school at all, Mary?
What?
I said, have your kids been in school at all?
They go to online school, but they have not. They did when they were 3 and 4.
Okay. And now when I say introducing them to their own thing and giving them free range, a lot of times when we got these babies with these superpowers, they make them change classes. Instead of leaving them where they are and allowing somebody to come in, they make these babies change classes. Now, what do you think that's doing for their babies? They got to readjust, get reacquainted with the energy. They got to start all the way back over. They got to start all the way back over. That don't feel good at all. It damn sure don't feel good to me. I couldn't even imagine. Couldn't imagine, wouldn't imagine. I like to go in and teach yoga. And I teach yoga and French. It's nothing that is required. It's just something that I took the time to spend more time with Gabe. I'm going to go here, and I'm going to teach the other kids while I teach my child. And at first, y'all, Gabe was over it. He was like, what are you doing here? Why are you at my school? He was so mad, y'all. Why are you here? You don't even go here. That's what he said. You don't even go here. Why are you here? He was so over it at that time.
You know, and that's the hard part, is giving them that space to grow and do dumb things.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, wanting to help pave that way for them.
Yeah, I think allowing them to make their own decisions, that's what we were getting to early, is growth for them. And we may not want to, like, realize it, but, I mean, we say this several times, like, these children have their own mind. You have your own mind. It's just that our parents didn't play that. We were supposed to be seen and not heard. We're supposed to stay in the child's place. That's what our parents told us. But that is crazy. Because, you know, you had something to say. Let me tell y'all, your nephew Gabe, he has valid points. If I tell him to do something and he asks me why, I don't think he's being disrespectful. Maybe this is on, you know, part of the gentle parenting club. But when he questions me and then say, and you can't say just because it doesn't make sense. I have to go in my bag of reasoning and let my son know that this is why. And this is why. Oh, and this is why, too. So I got to have valid points, because if it's not validated, if it doesn't make sense, he is not here for it. Not here for it. So that's why I say, hey, allow your children to ask you questions. Allow yourself, and parents, when you're wrong, just say that. Just say you're wrong. It's okay to be wrong. Parents mess up too. It is okay to be wrong. We are not always right just because we're the adults. These children know way more than we think. These children are smart, okay? Came in with something different. Definitely. Without a doubt. Without a doubt, there is something different. And we have to honor those things and allow them to be themselves. Allow them to do the things that you were afraid to do. Y'all was afraid because our parents was foolish. Our parents came from foolishness, and they were foolish. I couldn't question my mama. I got slapped in the mouth. But then that created an adult that didn't know how to speak up for herself. So listen, be mindful when you're doing certain things to these children, making them shut up, sit down. Don't do that. Can't do this. Be quiet. I said so. They don't want to hear that. They need valid reason. Because how would you like it if the world would talk to your children how you talk to them? You'll be mad, ready to fight. You'll be upset. We've been cow to town meeting because somebody done did something in your town. but you talk to them crazy. In identifying other factors that play into this acceptance role is that when we are in the I'm getting outside the point, but I wanted to say this in acceptance. Parents, when you're getting your diagnosis and you've heard what they said, diagnosis. Y'all know I'm country and I be slurring my words. I'm going to get me a enunciation coach. I can enunciate my words so you guys could hear them and receive them. Remember, when I was getting my diagnosis, And I just was thinking, this is like the end of the world. This is doomsday. What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to feel? I can't be mad. You still love this kid. I'm mad at God. I'm mad at myself. I mean, all the feels. Y'all think I almost had a nervous breakdown just getting the delivery of the news. It was bad. It was real bad getting the delivery of the news and trying to figure out, how am I going to sustain? How am I going to help this child? I got to learn all I can about autism. They say, some people say that children grow out of it. Like, I went through all the things, honey. Lost many a nights of sleep. And when I realized all I had to do was love my child just as he is, accept the things that I cannot change. And if I felt like that I wasn't going to accept them, then I would definitely have the mindset to change them. I would have a solution. I would have a tribe. I would have a something. We're growing. We're growing every day, y'all. And we're learning. And just as we grow ourselves and we grow our information, we become more rounded people and better parents. Education can take you a long way. Because watch this. How, when you start finding out things that help you through life as an adult, and you're like, dang, if I had known this in my 20s, if I had known this then, if I had known this then, man, I could have did so much if I then. Well, we can't worry about that because we now. Can't even worry about it because we right here, right now. I think I want to go ahead and start my support group on parents who have just recently got diagnosed and what to do with the information they gave you and how to pivot, and even some things of how to get insurance to pay for things. I just realized, like, if you need certain car seats and certain strollers because your child is bigger than what, like, the standard is, you can put in an order and your insurance will pay for it. Most insurances will cover the things that you need for your children. You just got to know what to say, how to say it, how to write it up. And watch this. If you and your physician get on the same page, your physician can literally write a prescription for a certain car because it's what you need to make the child's life easier and more accessible to the outside world.
You know,
yes,
the core
real
part,
thing.
Mm-hmm. Most doctors who have a background with autism or neurodiversity will write up many things that you need for them. All you have to do is ask.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're having issues in school with sensory issues and they need a break, most doctors will write that up to have one include in their IEP, but also let the school know that your sensory issues are a disability by the American Disabilities Act, and they are required to observe it and acknowledge it and give them the breaks they need in between schooling.
Mm.
I did not know
that.
Our doctor told me that.
No, you told us today.
I didn't know that as a mom or as, you know, a specialist that, you know, I always just assume your sensory issues are your sensory issues. I didn't realize, but it's actually considered a disability by the American Disabilities Act. And schools are required to give them breaks if they need it. And if they're having issues, especially when it comes to transitioning from class to class, like you were talking about, the doctors will write that up. So it has to be put in their IEP. Either they get out early from one class to the next so that they can have that quiet space to go to the hallways and have time to reset. They have to make accommodations. Talk to your doctor. That's why a lot of doctors will ask you, how are things going in school? What do you need? And the hard part is, and I go through this a lot, you know, they ask and you don't think about it till you leave the doctor's office. Like, wait a minute.
Man, that's why you got to keep your little handy dandy notebook. So every time you have a question or a thing before you go to the doctor, like, keep your little notebook. Jot everything down, all behaviors that maybe, you know, like, hey, that's different. I never seen them do that before. I don't know. Has Billy always did that? That might be kind of new. So let's write it down. We'll let the doctor know that at this age, during this time, this is what he ate. This is what the type of behavior we got. Yeah.
I am actually working on creating an app. And the reason it's taking a little bit longer is we're making it secure. So it qualifies under the ADA and Hippocratic Oath to make where schools, your teachers, your all your services, including the doctors, can have access to it through a link so that everybody can keep track of everything in real time. So if something happens in school, they can shoot a video, take a picture, type it in. Something happens at home. And that way, and this is what's working, this is not what's working, you know, they're having a problem with this, and it'll set out an alert so everybody knows there's an addition added to it so that everybody knows to check it.
I was just going to say it notifies them like a text or something.
Because the biggest issue we have with our systems today is they're all separate. You know, your OT through the doctors, your OT through the school, your social services, all these departments are all separate, so there's no communication in between and with each other. And always, and if there is, especially like through social services, the parents are never, ever added into those. Unless you have a good social worker that, like, tags you automatically and everything. And it's not always their fault.
I wonder why is they feel that. Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder why is there like that, though, in that capacity?
Some of them just don't think it's relevant. Like, my school sends messages all the time to our social worker because we got child protection called because my daughter doesn't always go to class because the teacher always sets her off and has issues with her teacher. And so the school got ticked because our social worker actually agreed with me on the situation and how to deal with the situation. And so we're just buying time till the end of the year. But every time my daughter does something or I said something, they'll whine to the social worker.
Okay. Do not know how I feel about that
right
in this moment. Yeah.
Well, it was
your
funny.
Your social worker calls you right away.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I like that.
Because I've always been upfront with her. I've always told her the situation. She's been to my house. She was just at my house yesterday. But, like, one day, my kids are at home, okay? They go to school on a computer at home. My daughter used a knife to cut a sandwich.
It's a life skill.
She's
something
not.
You teach our children how to use appliances.
Correct. And she's 9 years old, so she's allowed to use a knife. And 90% of the time, my house is not that big, so I know what she's doing because she is not the quietest kid in the world. And so they literally called me, then called Child Protection and got mad because Child Protection refused to file a report on it and do an investigation. They're like, she's at home, not at school, for one. And two, mom's right there because mom handed her the knife. I didn't think about it, you know. This never happened.
No, you see, because you taught her a life skill. That's what I'm saying. Like, Gage's been using the knife since about two. You know why, y'all? He was nonverbal, and he wanted to be in the kitchen because he saw mommy use a knife all day because I'm cutting up fruit and vegetables. So guess what? He wants to do what mommy does, but he's nonverbal. So he picked up a knife, and he wants to play, so he's chasing me around the house with a knife, y'all, because he thinks this is a game and we're playing. So I had to show him how to use a knife so he does not chase me around anymore.
Right. But you were right there and knew about it.
Oh, for sure.
Now,
yes. Facilitated.
You know, at 10 years old, it's like, So the school is just like, that's what drives me nuts. It's like, okay, I know she has a knife. She's 9 years old. She cooks her own meals. She's not in a regular school, so, you know, she can't hurt anybody. And you want to call child protection? Why? Well, that's the standard, is that there's no zero tolerance policy for weapons.
What? You're not, she's at home, y'all. This is crazy to me. Are you? Did you write up something for them to? No, seriously. Because at that point, they need to be written up.
Oh, we're suing the school, but the thing was, on the whole
for
thing,
sure,
is I go, how is it deemed a weapon other than to the poor bologna that she's eating? I mean, she's literally cutting a sandwich with it, or she's using, but, and I go, well, she uses scissors, is that, that's a weapon. So how is it okay for her to use a scissors but not a knife, depending on what craft project she's working on or what she's doing?
This is crazy. And I want to go out and say that is a bunch of malarkey right there. She can use scissors. But this is why they never should have took home economics out of the school. That for that reason right there. For that one good reason right there. It should have never been out of the school.
No. That well, hell, when we were kids, you know, if you lived in like a small community like I did, you know, the boys, because more boys than girls did this, but you'd bring your rifles to school in the trunk of your car to go hunting during hunting season. You know, you didn't think twice about it, you know. But now it's like, because some kids do dumb things and, you know, things happen, and which are tragedies, but it's like this zero tolerance policy of not even understanding. You know, a pocket knife is now bad, or a kitchen knife is bad when you're at home going to school on a computer. So are they supposed to sit and starve when you're sitting there for hours listening to teachers drone on?
Go on. Wah, 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 wah.
David does that, too. It's funny.
Because he don't be wanting to hear that tomfoolery either. I feel you, nephew. Don't nobody want to hear that.
So David was,
he is
making, even the social worker said he's a different kid now. He's happy now. And yesterday in speech class, he didn't want to do class. So he tells his speech teacher they're going on an adventure and they're going to play hide and seek. So he takes the computer and hides it under my bed.
Oh, wow.
And she calls me and I'm like, what? She's like, David hid me somewhere.
Oh, shoot. She didn't want to play no more. Okay.
She just wanted to make sure I didn't lose the computer. But she goes, I went and found her. I go, David, go get your teacher. Go bring her back. And he goes, oh, I found you.
Aw. Got you.
And it was so funny because he goes, oh, I found, like, it was just like, oh, a shock. And he goes, let's do it again. And I'm like, no. No hide and seek. No more adventures.
But that's, but those adventures, and guess what? His mama advocating for him. And it is something, remember, he wasn't really eating food, or he would eat and be like, stomach. And mama kept saying, let me find out what's wrong with my baby. Let me see what's going on. Mama's going to be doing it either. Some mamas. They're saying, oh, they're making it up. They're delusional, or whatever. There's nothing
or
wrong
they
with
just,
you.
Or they blame autism on it. It's a symptom of autism. Because it's got a sensory issue with food. And I did find out, I've been doing a lot of research on this.
Hey!
The reason why some of sensory kids who have an issue eating food why they pick and eat crap more than healthy food. They're so knotted up all the time. You know, their muscles are set. They have, especially if they're constipated issues, a lot of times it has to do with the muscles relaxing. So when you eat crap food, your body digests it 10 times faster without the work. It's actually easier for their body to process.
The junk, then to process the good food.
Because your body works harder to process the good food.
Oh, that's new there. That's new and improved. That's a new information for y'all, Joe. That's why we crave sugar and things. Our body just go ahead and absorb that real quick. It got to cipher out the good stuff and be like, dang, it gave us all good stuff. Okay, we got to store it everywhere. Let's process it. Sense, honey. You know, if it made some sense, it made some dollars.
Well, I called David's doctor about it because that's what he used to be like, is he'd only eat crap. And once we got him that stomach med, it's like a muscle relaxer that helps release the muscles in his stomach and his, you know, and digestive tract. So it helps with him going without giving him laxatives. He started eating real food. And I go, you know, I'm working on this theory and I wanted to know what your opinion was. And she started looking at and doing the research. And she goes, you know, that's a good possibility. You know, a lot of people, when they start getting constipation issues, will go grab that candy bar or eat those chips and eat the greasy foods, because the greasy foods slide down and slide through faster and easier.
It makes you go.
It makes you go. So it makes it easier to go. Especially because so many of these kids, you know, my son included, internalizes everything and bottles everything up. So they're like one giant ball of not really. So teaching to relax and, you know, is key in helping them, you know, take breaths and relax and, you know. And part of it is, too, what they have found is that kids with autism have higher lactic acid in their bodies, especially in their brains, compared to regular people. Which means your brain is always working. It's not slowing down.
Always
it's not
working.
Going into that
rest. Never shut down. It's in overtime mode when you sleep. It's still going.
That's why I started doing those frequency musics to help slow and shut the brain down. Because when they crash, they crash. And when they crash, you can't get them up either.
Man, that's the hardest thing to wake up. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. It's so difficult to wake them up.
Yeah,
I have to wake Gage up in, like, spurt. You can shake them.
You can, you can sit up
Mary,
and carry
you know
them,
I'm
and they're still falling asleep.
Yeah,
Mariana used to roll him off the couch onto a blanket and drag him across the floor, and all they do is roll up in that blanket tighter, and they go back to sleep. As you're moving them and dragging them across the floor, they're sound asleep.
Knocked out. Not paying you no mind.
That's without sleep medication. When they're out,
yeah,
they're out.
Sleep medication,
getting them to go out.
Homeless.
You know, it's just getting them to shut down long enough to go to sleep, stop moving.
Yeah,
that's where
sure.
Bedtime routines and quiet time works, you know, is so key to these kids to help them get to that level.
I would definitely say having a wind down time is a great something to have with your children, like, all right, phone's off at 8 o'clock. Now let's read a story at 8:30. All right, we're going to lay down at 9. You know, those having those cues and being able to just be like, okay, this is what we're doing. That's what helped with me. Even now, we have developed no cell phone in the morning on the way to work. Work means school. Because he was like, when I go to work, you're just going to be sitting at home doing nothing. I said, whoa, I don't just sit at home and do nothing. I said, I do work out here, Dave. He was like, no, you're not. You're just going to be sitting at home watching TV. And I had to let him know, like, mommy doesn't do that while you're at school. I know that's what you think I do. But some mama out here teaching yoga, running a business, being a superhero, juicing for people, advocating for other autistic people, advocating for the old people, and advocating for the free thinkers. Mommy does not want to not be with you. Because that was his thought.
Oh. No, just sometimes we need a break. From everybody, not just you.
From everybody. Man, say it louder. I need a break from everybody. Not just you. It's not a you thing, son. This is a
it
mommy
is a
needs her
people thing. People.
But guess what? I had to teach him that he needs his own time.
I love how that backfires on us, though.
It does. Be mindful when you ask for their time, because they're going to ask for their time. It's coming back. And our children, they love to get us back. They do.
Ooh, yeah.
I don't know if that's just a karmic thing, that they just automatically know, let me mess with mom and let me get her back. Let me get her back for all this foolishness that she did to me.
They have the gumption that a lot of kids their age don't have, where they're willing to utilize it,
mm-hmm.
where a lot of other kids won't yet, because they're at that adult wavelength and thinking, not at the kid wavelength of thinking, because, you know, they're in me time. God forbid you need them to do something, like pick up something that
they
left laying on the floor.
Right.
It is me time, Mom. You need to wait. You get your me time. I want my me
time. I want my me time.
Like, don't care.
I want my me time. Mm-mm. Not at all. They don't care. They want their me time. They deserve their me time, too. Because Gage told me, Mommy, he just needs a little bit of break from you. That was my indicator.
That's it.
That he needed time. And when he tells me he's going over his granddaddy, he let me know I'm going to stay over my grandmommy's. I need some time.
But isn't it great, though, that they can do that instead of it ending up in a screaming match?
Girl, because we done already did those. Remember when I caused you crying because he was an Asian boy? He was an Asian boy.
Bad.
I know that he was an Asian boy. And Phil says he's Asian sometimes. So, that's him. But at the end of the day, I'm also more so glad that I allowed myself to be vulnerable enough with my child, because my kid can't see me cry. Gage gonna see me boo-hoo cry. And now when he used to laugh at me like, ha ha, cry baby, that's what he used to say. Now he'd be like, Mom, what is upsetting you? What is going on? His emotional intelligence has grown. What's going on, Mom? Is everything okay? You need me to do something for you? Yeah, and then guess what he'll say, Mary? Who bothering you? Who messing with you? He'll hit me with that one in a minute. Who is messing with you? You want me to go handle it?
He has no problem wiping the floor with them.
None at all. Mommy, what's the problem? Who did it to you? Someone hurt your feelings? He told me one time, I'm going to get Pop-Pop right now. I'm going to tell my Pop-Pop. He's like, your daughter is crying.
Go fix it now.
Go fix it now. And then he told me one time I was crying, fix your face. I got to be telling him, fix your face. And you can cry for a little bit now, but then you got to fix your face.
So we are out of time for today.
We are. I was going to keep on going, but dang, that hour was quick today.
It was.
I'd like to thank each and every one of you, especially the Hope Collection, Optimize My Life. I appreciate y'all for rocking with me. My jugs, you already know what's up. I love y'all dearly. It ain't nothing on this God green earth that you could ever do to me to make me not love you. I mean what I say when I say that. This has been great, informative, lovely. Thank you. Be the change that you want to see. Give a dollar away, maybe even two. Step back, watch it grow, and see just what God could do. I love you, Judge. It ain't nothing you can do about it. I hope that y'all have one of the most amazing days, and I look forward to talking to you soon.